Once again, Genesis 27, verse 28 and 29. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Last week, we spent time looking at the birthright and the blessing that was so desired by Jacob, soon to be named Israel by the Lord. Jacob desired that spiritual blessing of the future day. He was willing to invest himself fully into all that was required in order to be so blessed by God. Esau didn't care about the promise or the birthright. His eyes were on his immediate needs and wants, and thereby sold all to Jacob for a pot of lentil stew to satisfy his belly. Esau was of the earth, and his heart and mind were set on its day-to-day functioning. Jacob, however, craved all the fullness of all that God had promised, as the Lord had so chose to bless in his time. That blessing was passed down through Judah by God's intervention in Joseph's care for his family during that famine that would have erased them from the earth. God's blessing was preserved and spread forth through his people's continual salvation, as detailed throughout the Old Testament. This week, we will approach this blessing of God not from the vantage point of its being passed down generation to generation in the children of Israel, but as it has been passed on to all those who believe in Jesus Christ and are now made to be the inheritance of God in his Son. Galatians 3:28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. As well, the Apostle Paul reinforces this reality in Ephesians 3:1-7. Let us read it together. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1-7. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace given, which was given to me according to the working of his power. In Christ Jesus, we are included in the heritage and the blessing proclaimed by God to Abraham and passed down to those whom he has so chosen to bless with himself. This is the mystery of Christ that has been revealed to those in whom Christ now lives his life. Many people throughout the history of the children of Israel were looking for the physical establishment of an earthly kingdom which would serve to promote the Jews above all the other nations of the earth. There was a continual attitude of superiority over the heathen Gentiles of the rest of the world. That exclusiveness was never the heart of God with his ultimate plan of salvation for all the nations through the death and resurrection of his only begotten Son. Even the prophet Isaiah revealed that the rest of the world had a stake in what God was doing through his Christ. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 7. Please read along. Isaiah 42, 1 through 7. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. The blessing of Christ was to be anticipated by any who would read the Word of God and would believe the fact that God would do all that he ordained throughout the fulfillment of his promised blessing upon mankind. Yes, through the period of the Old Testament history, God's chosen people were the instrument through whom that blessing was preserved and was nurtured. The Christ would arise from the lineage of King David, but not to the exclusive salvation of the children of Israel. Rather, in him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 18, 17 and 18. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. From the very beginning of the promise, God had all the nations in his heart to be included in his glorious blessing. We see that this was proclaimed by the psalmist in Psalms 2, 6 through 12. Psalms chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O king, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. The nations are the inheritance of the Son, begotten of the Father. There is the common call to all kings and peoples to worship the Lord with reverence and with discernment. Everyone is to do homage to the Son and to rejoice with awe and trembling at His authority and His lordship. There is no one who is exempt from this call to bow to the authority and the majesty of the Lord's King, His Son installed upon the throne of the earth. In Him, we will find our blessing forevermore, our peace and our joy and our guidance and our wisdom and our justice and our righteous government. Once again, we hear the prophet Isaiah as he pronounces what the Lord will accomplish for all those called by His name and under His supreme authority. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. What a blessing is ours in Jesus Christ. All the ages of eternity are wrapped together in the song of His glory and His praise and His triumphant majesty as the Lord of all creation. In Him, the history of mankind has its very essence. Every age shows forth the working omnipotence of God to establish such a magnificent and celebrated sanctification and consecration in His Son. It is beyond all comprehension to think that God so chose to invest Himself thoroughly and fully into us, Creator, into His creation, with a complete heart after giving us all things in Jesus Christ. Psalms 112, 1 through 4. Praise the Lord! How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments! His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. When we consider what is at the very core of this blessing that we have been freely given at the unfathomable and incomprehensible cost of the crucifixion of the very Son of God, we should be utterly humbled. Our knees should buckle, and our tongues should cease from anything other than praise and adoration and thanksgiving to God. There should well up within us the absolute recognition that we are utterly incapable of anything other than to join our hearts together in awe and wonder at the love of God so manifested in such a great and undeserved salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. There is no way to fully express the splendor of the heritage into which we have been placed by God. He did the work, and He put forth all the necessary effort in His omnipotence, His omniscience, and His omnipresence to make us His very own beloved children. It is nothing that we can earn. It is nothing that we inherit as a people. We cannot fulfill any law of goodness, nor can we experience this salvation just because we are born as descendants of those who believe. Our spiritual heritage is singly because God has chosen us, one by one, and heart by heart, to receive His blessing. Everything is set in the person of Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. Those who are the blessed of God are not those of any specific nation or earthly heritage or even of specific family relations. None of that has any standing in the heart of God. Everything in our lives is in place in order to establish our relationship with Jesus Christ on a one-to-one personal basis. Parentage is not a guarantee of our salvation. Education is not a guarantee of our salvation. Reading the Bible is not a guarantee of our salvation. Reciting memorized prayers is not a guarantee of our salvation. Being called a Christian or being from a so-called Christian nation is not a guarantee of our salvation. Going to church and participating in its rituals is not a guarantee of our salvation. The Apostle Paul delineates what is the only way that we can be absolutely certain that we have received this blessing of God from Abraham through to the New Testament church, the body of Christ. Romans 10:8-13. Please mark this passage in each Bible as we read it. Romans 10:8-13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith with which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that everyone in this room, everyone who reads or hears this message, has that certainty of the blessing of God delineated for mankind in the giving of His only begotten Son. I pray that each one of you children, each one of you young people, each one of you parents and husbands and wives, men and women, can truly stand together in the rock-solid knowledge that you have been so fully blessed by God, that you have received His inheritance of eternal life that is found only in Jesus Christ. This is what He has purposed in His only begotten Son. This has been the prayer of all those who love you in this room, that none would be lost. The span of the time of God's blessing of salvation is drawing to a close. I do not claim to know the date or the hour or the minute, but as each day passes, so passes another opportunity and another chance to live in the blessing that is the life of Jesus Christ. The passing of the days and the months and the years will not linger nor slow. All of eternity is quickly approaching to envelop those in whom God's blessing of salvation is a certainty and a hope, and the steadfast spring of that refreshing and soothing living water. The end of time will be beckoned in with the revelation of Jesus Christ, as described in Revelation 19:11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war, and his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself, and he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is not an account which brings fear to the hearts of the redeemed of God, but rather it is the joyous proclamation of the majesty and the holiness and the righteousness of the One in whom we have been so fully blessed by God. If this passage does cause any discomfort or any dismay or any hesitation or any concern, please, I beg you, ask the Lord to open His heart of grace and mercy and comfort into your heart through the blessing of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Amen.